Alors, Mendigal. Can I confess that Mandy was my student?
Je dois avouer qu'elle était mon étudiante lorsqu'elle était étudiante à Concordia.
So I'm
Hello, test. Okay. Excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm pleased that I'm here. And I'd like to extend my thanks and my appreciation to the COMEX panel for receiving the testimony of my community members and the impacted Taliban. I will provide a copy of my statement online. I have many edits to it, so I will provide a proper copy. I am Mandy Gall. I am the Deputy Chief of the Cree First Nation of Waswanapi. In July of 2015, I was invited on an expedition to see the Broadback up close. I came away with a new understanding of the importance of this file. I believe that today the community of Waswanapi has stated their position. We've said no. We've said no in our signs. We've said no in our statements. We've said no. I'm here because I would like to precise why we say no. Our community, as participants in this process, by providing statements, have been engaged in a negotiation on a project between my people and with the promoters. And this negotiation is subject to review by a mediator, COMEX. They'll be proposing an outcome to the Quebec government. I'm here to state that I believe that this negotiation has commenced prematurely. I raise my questions in three areas of concern. The basis of this project is supported by an environment and social impact assessment conducted by the proponent in 2009, and I believe that COMEX should reconsider the data provided. A period of 6 years has lapsed, and major considerations have occurred and I feel should be reviewed. The first being lacking adequate information prior to project implementation. The second being outdated data sources. And the third being failure to reflect major occurrences in the territory. Earlier, I did not have a chance to ask a question, but I will ask some questions as part of my statement. The same project was previously proposed by Donahue. The assessment is referred to. The assessment of that project is referred to in this assessment. The company sought to supply 120,000 cubic meters of wood. The proposed way was envisioned in the first project proposed to cross the Broadback. This project had to be abandoned because the promoter did not seem to have adapted their study according to the Paix des Braves 2002 agreement. Nor did this project follow the modifications of the forest system that was in place. The community also stated that they were not in agreement with the construction of the bridge crossing the Broadback. My community still maintains this position. I did hear information today saying that there was no crossing into the Broadback, but I would like to point out very clearly that in the first version of this project, they did intend to cross the Broadback. This concerns me. Fast forward to July 2015. As I'm sure you're aware, this project, the project that we speak of today, was part of the negotiation to settle the dispute of the Barrel Moses Agreement, a dispute that consisted of significant and detrimental over-harvesting that decimated family traplines in Mistassini. No community should be subject to this. An area that my community has been fighting to protect for over 10 years, the north and the south of the Broadback Valley. In the settlement to resolve the dispute on the Barrow Moses Agreement, an area that had been over-harvested, the solution was to propose additional cutting in a totally different area. I do not feel confident in saying that we would be protected even with the proposed measures that were offered in that settlement. They've over-harvested once. I cannot confidently say that I would trust that they wouldn't do so again. When did additional forestry operations become a justifiable solution? We said no before, but now there's another excuse to ask again. Wasuwanipi maintains our position. We are requesting protection of the north and south of the Broadback. The first area of concern, lacking adequate information prior to project implementation. The assessment states, in order to identify the impacts, it is necessary to target the sources of impact. The proponent in his response to follow-up statements indicated a commitment to building roads that require access to borrow pits. Yet the assessment doesn't accurately identify them, nor do they disclose the impact of those required borrow pits. You've heard him himself this morning state, we've identified them, but he has not selected the location, therefore he has not indicated the impact. This statement in the assessment does not adequately quantify the amount of resource impact on the Tallyman's trap line. Will it be 2? Will it be 27? We don't know. It's not indicated. In Appendix 11 in the assessment, in January of 2010, a statement was made by one of the impacted Tallyman. Mr. Otterize indicates in those former consultations, it had been said time and time again, there was no more gravel for roads. Roads that he requested to be fixed on his trap line could not be fixed because there was no gravel. Yet suddenly there is, to build a whole new road, a road way longer and way larger than the small repairs that he asked. There will be 7 principal waterways impacted. Yet the information is not clear with marked spawning grounds identified. The assessment states the size of the infrastructure necessary to cross the other permanent watercourses and intermittent watercourses will be progressively determined during the construction works using observations and preliminary statements. The proponent proposes to build in waterways but is unsure of the amount of damage that could be caused potentially to wildlife or fish habitats? To what budget does the company commit? How will they afford these mitigations? To what excess are they truly willing to pay? If they so informally state that a road will be moved, are they aware of the cost? I have many questions on that issue alone. In the assessment, it also states that no field sampling was done. And it is intended to be carried out during the project implementation phase of actual road construction, nor has any plan been provided for analysis of this data and its impact on the project. They are going to build a road by going in blind and finding out what they will uncover along the way. 10 to 15 years of development. This is what the proponent has stated earlier today. With no conclusion on the information of the impacts. No concrete conclusion. Only the commitment to go in and see what happens. I do not find that as fair or proper management of a project. In the consultation process, I ask myself, how long did this company have to plan this project? Could I say days? Could I say weeks? Months? I'll say days. In reading the consultation minutes, it states that there was 3 sessions scheduled. January 15th, from 1:45 p.m. to 3 p.m. January 20, from 1:45 to 5 p.m. February 3rd, from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. 3 sessions in which Tallyman were asked to make a decision on a project that will impact them for 15 years. They were asked to take out a map. They were asked to point out their camp. They were asked to point out water sources, fish habitats. And then they were asked, what is the disadvantage of having a road in your territory? They have never been subject to a road of this magnitude in their territory. How can you answer a question like that? If I asked one of the members of COMEX panel, I think that you should move here. What would be the disadvantages of you moving here? Would you answer? I don't think so. You have no information or point of reference. These 3 sessions are the basis for concluding that there was permission from the Tallyman. These 3 sessions, totaling 75 minutes, 195 minutes, 150 minutes, 420 minutes, 7 hours to make a decision on a project that will impact your trap line for 10 to 15 years. I cannot conclude that that is accurate or fair consultation. I believe that failure to adequately identify the terms of commitment required from the proponent without sufficient costs for potential mitigation is detrimental to the reduction of project impact. How can a project proponent undertake committing to components of a project without the qualification of project costs? In addition, the assessment does not provide any planning for recourse if the proponent is not able to meet the costs for mitigation of impacts. If we have to move a road and it is too expensive and they cannot afford it, what is the plan? I don't feel there is a plan. My second area of concern is outdated data. I would like to bring to your attention the announcement done in October of 2015, in which the Minister of Natural Resources, Pierre Arquin, and the Minister of Sustainable Development, the Environment, and the Fight Against Climate Change, David Hurtel, held a press conference with Suzanne Méthot of the Canadian Boreal Initiative on the issues of boreal forest conservation and climate change. At this press conference, I personally witnessed Minister Hurtel announce a new research initiative to better understand the role of the boreal forest in Quebec's fight against climate change. Further, also announcing that previous data failed to adequately calculate the amount of carbon stored in the boreal forest. The same boreal forest that the Broadback Valley is in. This valley is recognized internationally as essential to the continued battle against climate change. The same forest that stores more carbon dioxide per hectare than the Amazon rainforest. The Quebec government has publicly stated that research is needed to identify the new data to reflect the actual carbon stored in our forests. If they're uncertain of its present role, could it be ascertained that our impact assessment was conducted taking into consideration data that has been identified as lacking by some of the highest officials in Quebec? New data in this research project is essential to understanding the role of the boreal forest. The same forest our proponent is requesting to cut. I believe that this research is essential. I believe that COMEX needs to postpone this project till our very own government understands the role of the Broadback Valley in the fight against climate change, a reality that they have committed to. This new data will also improve our understanding of the fragile ecosystem and the processes required to manage carbon storage. This data is vital and it is lacking. Further, there have been major occurrences in the territory. Access to this territory with the construction of the road is indicated in the impact statement. During construction alone, there is an expected 10 to 20 heavy trucks and 10 to 15 vans on the road. Further, during exploitation, there will be circulation of 30 to 50 trucks at all times. And there's an inability to estimate the number of other users in the territory. This is a direct quote from the assessment. There is an unprecedented access to territory with resources not totally identified, not only in terms of wildlife, but also fauna, and the level of impact. The proponent's solution to this is the ministry must have essential resources to make adequate territory monitoring and to maximize collaborations with Cree communities. Yet since this impact assessment was completed, the provincial government has significantly reduced the amount of resources to our region. There was a layoff of positions, 16 game wardens, biologists, wildlife technicians, and an additional budget freeze for the teams dedicated to endangered species recovery up until April of 2015. This includes the woodland caribou that is listed in the impact statement as vulnerable, but whose present status has now changed to endangered. How can we justify the activities of this project if there are even less resources to monitor and control? There's a total lack of resources available to safeguard the territory if this project proceeds. Further, in the impact assessment statement, you've heard many times today reference to a study released in 2012 on the woodland caribou based on 9 years of demographic and telemetric data. This data was also collected within the management units of the impacted area. This information is essential to creating a strong caribou management plan, a plan geared to the recovery of this species. Without it, I believe that the caribou are more susceptible to harm and impact from this project than we even realize. We cannot proceed in harvesting a forest that is essential to their survival. Is COMEX willing to make a recommendation without consideration of the role of the forest in this species' existence? I've also been personally impacted by forestry. My family trapline is located adjacent to a mill. I've only ever known forests to be cut or tree planted in rows and rows of the same perfect tree growing uniformly, passing transport trucks, barren spaces of harvested trees, and these strange identical patches of forest with only one single tree species. This is my reality. This is the reality of my children. My husband taught my sons to hunt in these planted forests. The small seedlings planted in my childhood are now trees, small trees. My late mother told me her childhood memories of living in the bush with her family. She was the first generation to see these forestry cuts. My grandmother told me stories of watching her parents cutting down trees when Highway 117 was still a dirt road. She was born in the bush amongst the trees, like my mother. No transport trucks, no workers, no tree planters. Her family was raised on the land, depending on hunting, fishing, and trapping. How quickly has our relationship with the forest changed? In three generations, three short generations, we've come from depending on the forest for survival, for the Cree way of life, to now where I have to stand here before a panel and make an argument that we once again depend on the forest for new kind survival, survival of the human race in our race against climate change. What truly alarms me in the impact of forest harvestation is that we're now reviewing an attempt to harvest the last intact forest. This isn't an understatement. The map behind you indicates red means harvestation, blue means intact. I would like to provide some additional definitions for COMEX's consideration. The first being renewable resource, a resource which is replaced naturally and can be used again. The second being non-renewable resource, a resource that does not renew itself at a sufficient rate for sustainable economic extraction in a meaningful time frame. Now I'm asking myself, if we're here today reviewing access to cut a forest, a cut that the industry argues is needed, and a forest that my community claims as the last of its kind to exist, what definition applies to our forest resource? What is unique about today's hearing? The traplines affected by this deforestation project, they are the last families that to date have not seen the reality of forest impacts the way my family has. These family traplines are unaffected by the forest reality that my family has faced for three generations already. COMEX is the mediator in determining the regulations between the proponent and the impacted community. We stated our position loud and clear. No new roads in the Broadback that we wish to protect. The proponent states otherwise. Build two large roads directly heading into the protected areas that were provided. These two positions in direct conflict, no zone of possible agreement overlaps. I understand that COMEX was given a mandate. We said no. You must make a decision to realize if you will give a no or a yes. Today, many times, I've heard, Mr. Chair, you've proposed, are you ready to make a compromise? I'm here because I would like to propose a compromise. Let us ask the compromise of the industry. Let us ask the industry to compromise. I ask that if you cannot reach a decision in favor of our community, that at least you compromise by requesting a new impact assessment process. This will not only build a positive relationship between the community and the proponent, but it will also provide COMEX proper information to make a recommendation. I believe that we do need to conduct additional research for this process. Only then can this project be discussed. But I must also remind, in deciding not to do so, 90% of our traplines are fragmented. This means 90% of the Kru'u way of life has been changed. We are working to protect the last 10% of our traplines from forestry, the last 10% of our community to be unaffected. Today's question looks at a set of roads, temporary, bringing profit, spent, and done away with, but forever changing the people. Not only the people of this community, not only the people of this province, but the people of this planet. You may ask why I make this statement, but in conclusion, I will end with a quote. A quote from 1866. Over 150 years ago, Chief Seattle. Humankind has woven the web of life. We are but one thread in it. Whatever we do to this thread, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together and all things connect. I ask that the comics please realize the decisions that you make not only affect the impacted community of Wswanipi, they impact every single person on this planet, because that is the reality of our situation today. We are in a race against climate change, and we have to get into that race, and we need a strong head start. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's good to hear you. You remember the ZOPA, the Zone of Possible Agreement, and it's quite interesting. So thank you very much for this very well-organized presentation. I'd just like to emphasize on the fact that since the first impact study, more documents have been added to the impact study. I guess you're familiar with the questions that, as a committee, we addressed to the proponent and the answers that we got. So all the updated information, because we also had the same kind of preoccupation as you did, are public and available on our website. So I think that on this issue, maybe not all, but for sure I can say most of the concerns concerning the quality of the information provided in the impact study and the quality of the information we'll use to make a decision, I can give a relative assurance that we have we had as a committee enough information to move forward and have this consultation. If we as a committee had felt that we didn't have enough information, we wouldn't have moved forward and hold this hearing. Because before we have such kind of a hearing, we must as a committee decide that we are satisfied with the quantity and the quality of the information that we received. It doesn't mean, though, that we are totally satisfied, but enough for us to move forward and have these hearings. It's getting late. My English is maybe a bit rusty. Have I been clear? Does that satisfy one? Maybe some of my colleagues had some questions. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you again. I'll just take 30 seconds to talk to my colleagues and see how we manage the time. Okay. So I heard some noise and a few comments in the room. We'll go on. There's some the number of people that we are expecting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 left. So I think that we all will move forward, and I ask everybody to be as precise and use the time as well as they can.